have you ever noticed that many folks today in our society are always looking for a loophole? They're always looking to evade something. But the truth is, there are no loopholes in Christianity. However, because there are so many of these loopholes in secular life, it's easy for a person to develop the idea that we can do anything we want to do and get away with it. And sometimes that attitude spills over into spiritual things. For example, first of all, some saints think there are loopholes in service, but there are not. God's word is explicit about the manner in which we are to serve Him. God's word is clear about this. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we read, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God says, based on how merciful He has been to us, almost as merciful as Madeline has been to Ken to put up with him for 57 years.
That's true.
I know the feeling. But God says, based on how merciful He has been to us, it is just reasonable for Him to ask us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. There are no excuses for not serving the Lord. When I was in Bible college, the school required all the students to have some kind of Christian service assignment every week. That assignment might be preaching in the jails, or preaching in the nursing homes, or preaching in a church, or teaching a Sunday school class, or playing the organ or piano in a church service. But everyone had to do something. Everyone had to do what they felt God had called them to do. And no one was allowed to be exempt from Christian service. And every week, we had to fill out a questionnaire to explain what we did for Christian service that particular week. And the purpose of filling out the questionnaire was to teach the students that God placed them here on earth to do something, and no excuse would be acceptable. Now, what I've found is that if some people had two lives, they would be glad to give one of those lives for the service of God. However, they only have one life, and they have big plans for that one life. And their attitude is, how could God, or anyone else for that matter, expect them to use their life for anything other than what they want to use it for? They think that's unreasonable. But God says, based on how merciful He's been to us, it is reasonable. God commands people to offer their life as a living sacrifice for Him. And as believers in Christ, we cannot ignore this command to present our lives to the Lord. We cannot ignore this command from God Almighty by coming up with some ridiculous excuses. I don't understand it. Why is it that we feel we can offer up silly excuses to God, But if those same excuses were used in other areas of our life, we would see how ridiculous they are. Back in 1998, Chuck Swindoll wrote a book called The Tale of the Tardy Ox Cart and 1501 Other Stories. It's an interesting book. And in there, he writes about how ridiculous it would be for someone who loves sports to say they were not going to attend another game ever because every time I went, they asked for money. Or the people with whom I had to sit didn't seem very friendly. Or the seats were too hard and uncomfortable. Or the coach never came to see me. Or the referee made a decision with which I could not agree. Or I was sitting with some hypocrites. They only came to see what others were wearing. Or some games went into overtime and I was late getting home. Or the band played songs I'd never heard before. Or the games are scheduled when I want to do other things. Or my parents took me to so many games when I was growing up. And since I read a book on sports, I feel that I know more than the coaches anyhow. Or how about this one? I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. Well, you know, Charles Swindoll is right. Those are ridiculous excuses. And they are even more ridiculous sounding when applied to spiritual things. Many folks feel that an excuse is a loophole that will allow them to avoid serving. And this excuse making goes way back to ancient man. For example, consider what we see here in Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, God tells Moses that he has heard the cry of Israel for deliverance, and that he is now ready to deliver them. And then in verse 10, notice what God says. He says this to Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." This was God's call upon the life of Moses. But Moses was more interested in excuse making than in service. And sometimes we're the same way. You know, you're asked to teach a class, the excuses start. Or you're asked to serve in the nursery and the excuses start. Or God puts in your heart to share your faith with a friend or a neighbor, but then the excuses start. Or you're made aware of someone with a need that you could meet and the excuses start. And the truth is, a lot of times our excuses get in the way of our doing something for God. And the saddest truth of all is that many Christians are doing absolutely nothing for the Lord. But boy, they got plenty of excuses. And Moses started out like that. Moses had his excuses for not following the call of God. And I want us to look at them this morning. The first excuse he offers is the who me. The who, me excuse? This first excuse of Moses sounds pretty pitiful when you listen to it. But see if it doesn't sound like something that you may have said to God in the past. Look at verse 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses had an excuse. Who me? Who am I? Who me, Lord? You want me to do this? And look at Moses. Look at God's answer to Moses in verse 12. "And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people, out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." So basically, Moses' first excuse was an expression of doubt in himself. Who, me? Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I don't have this ability. But Moses expresses this doubt in himself even after God has said, I'm going to be with you. I'll help you. Well, he realized that that excuse was not going to hold up with God. So here comes excuse number two. And Moses' second excuse is not an expression of doubt in himself, but it's an expression of doubt in God. And his second excuse is the by what authority excuse. Look at verses 13 through 15 now. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Notice God says, I am that I am. Basically, God told Moses, it doesn't have to do with who you are, but with what, who I am, who I am. And he says, tell them I am sent you. And when God tells Moses, I am that I am, he's literally saying, I am he who was and is and always shall be. I will continue to be what I have always been. And with that answer from God, Moses offers another excuse. This time it's the what if excuse. Go over to chapter 4, look at verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they shall say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses' response was basically, but what if they ask me a question that I don't have an answer to? What if they ask me a question and I don't have the right answer? They're not going to believe me. What if they ask me a question that I don't have the answer to? And I'll tell you what, a lot of Christians use that as an excuse for not sharing their faith with others. They say, oh, I would witness to the lost, but I'm not eloquent in the Bible. And someone might ask me a question that I don't know the answer to, so I'm just going to shut up rather than speak up for the Lord. And Moses was like that. Moses was concerned about what might happen, and he was so concerned about what might happen that he forgot what God said would happen, that he would deliver the children of Israel by his power. And then Moses comes up with a fourth excuse. Go down to chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. So Moses says, I'm not an eloquent speaker, and I talk funny. And he may have been slow of tongue, but he sure was fast with the excuses, fast with the excuses. And this excuse of not being eloquent seems odd to me. And that's because of what the Bible says about Moses in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. It says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and in deeds. And in verses 11 and 12, the Lord gives his response to this particular excuse of Moses. So look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You see, our inadequacies are no problem for God. He made us the way we are. But if we do not make ourselves available, then God's plan for our lives cannot go forward. In a sense, our greatest ability is availability. Availability. Just making ourselves available for God to use. And then finally, excuse number five. Okay? Excuse number four was the, "But Lord, I don't speak well" excuse. And this one is the "send someone else" excuse. Look at verse 13. It says, "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." You talk about stubborn. No matter what, signs or no signs, whether God promises to be with him or not, Moses does not want to go. Moses is simply putting his foot down and telling God no. And guess what happened? Look at verse 14. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." Moses begs God to send someone else to do his job. And here's the truth. We do not need someone else to do what God is calling us to do. We just need to submit and surrender and yield to the plan of God and then get busy ourselves. Moses was God's man for the job. But the Lord told Moses that his brother Aaron would be allowed to assist him. And although Aaron is a great assistant, he turns out to be a very weak leader. And that's why God chose Moses to be the leader. Remember, once the children of Israel left Egypt, Aaron got his brother and the children of Israel into serious trouble. It was Aaron who led the children of Israel in making an idol, a golden calf to worship, while Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. You see, God's perfect will is always better than his permissive will. And thank God, though, that there was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough in the heart and mind of Moses. Moses finally responds in obedience. Look at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, "And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand." Moses ultimately did as the Lord asked. And just think of the lives that he touched because of his obedience. It's estimated that over 3 million Israelites under Moses eventually walked out of the land of slavery. Dr. B.J. Miller, a professor at Moody Bible Institute, once said this: "It is a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the consequences of not doing it." And that is true. And the truth is, for us as Christians, there are no loopholes when it comes to serving the Lord. There are no acceptable excuses for not serving him, even though some saints think and act like there are loopholes in service. But there are none. We are called to serve. Called to serve. Now, let me give you one more thing and we'll finish up. not only do some saints think there are loopholes in service, there are some sinners who think there are loopholes in sin. Some sinners who think there are loopholes in sin. But God wants us to know that there are no loopholes when it comes to sin. If you take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. And look at verses 7 and 8 once you find Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, we know that God's word clearly tells us that that if a sinner does not repent of his sin and receive Christ as his Savior, the Christ who died on the cross and rose again, if a sinner does not repent of his sin and receive Christ as his Savior, that sinner will eventually land in hell. Why is that? It's because sinners are convinced that you can sow corn and reap green beans. They're not convinced that you reap what you sow. But that is the absolute truth. It's the absolute truth. And sometimes sinners will tell you that God and them have this little deal going on. Now listen, God does not cut deals. You come God's way, or you do not come at all. And God's way is through faith in Christ, right? When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Their response was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that's the only way. Jesus makes that clear in John 14, 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." God's word says a person who thinks he can sow sin and reap everlasting life in heaven is deceiving himself. The only way to enter heaven is by turning from sin and turning to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all put here to carry out God's will. We are not put here to look for loopholes. And for the saint of God, that will is service to God. And for the sinner, that will is salvation by calling out to Christ in faith. And there are no loopholes, and there are no excuses, and there are no ways to evade these things. The message of the Bible to Christians is serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with all your heart. And the message of the Bible to sinners is repent of your sin and put your faith and your trust in Christ and Christ alone for the salvation of your soul. And there are no loopholes and there are no acceptable excuses in either one of these matters. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge.